Please be seated. The young man who comes to Jesus today, in my mind, is one of the most beguiling and attractive people we meet in all of the Gospels. The great wealth we learn that he possesses could easily have led him to pursue a less noble life than he does. He is a good man who has learned the commandments of God and lived by them since he was young. There is nothing about him that sounds like a stick-in-the-mud moral prig. You know, the kind of person who is overly interested in the speck that is in your eye, but is blissfully indifferent to the log that is in their own. There is no reason to doubt his sincerity when he says he has kept the commandments faithfully since he was a boy. He certainly doesn't strike Jesus as a self-righteous braggart. He is probably a man just coming into his own as a person who wants to set his compass to point him toward that which matters most, towards those things which will abide, eternal things. And Jesus looks at him and sees him and loves him. The Lord didn't use words, but whoever was there and remembered what happened on that day and passed on that memory of that day saw it in the Lord's face. He loved that man. But the young man's first question to Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" shows that he is on the wrong path. Because an inheritance, money, property, your name even, can only ever be given. You can't do anything to force an inheritance. You can't force your mother to rewrite her will so that you will inherit her wedding ring and not your sister. I mean, I suppose that you could connive to create a scheme where that might be set in motion. But supposing that even happened, that you succeeded, it would never be a freely given gift, a blessing, an inheritance. How could that wedding ring ever really sparkle on your finger if you acquired it in that way? An inheritance is a gift given. A legacy of loving loyalty received. For the rich young man, it is about the money, his money, but it also isn't. Money is given and received. Wealth and treasures are passed around all the time without having the least to do with where Jesus is trying to point this young man. There is no condemnation of the rich or exaltation of the poor anywhere in this text. But there is a problem with what this young man thinks money can do for him. I think that we are all of us used to there being an exchange rate, a kind of quid pro quo in so many of the aspects of our lives. And like the young man, we too can miss this wordless, needle's eye invitation of Jesus' loving gaze to something more. It's not just goods and services for money that shape our views. It happens, sadly, in our relationships, in our dealings with one another, where, oh so subtly, we exchange legal tender for approval, trying to earn what cannot be earned, though that doesn't seem to stop us from trying. We hear that everyone and everything has a price. But actually, no, not everything. Especially, and most importantly, not the things that matter most. We are all beggars when it comes to those things that matter most. This young man reminds me of a friend of mine in college who fell head over heels in love with a girl. And of course, she didn't know he was alive. What can I do to make her notice me, to know that I'm alive? He moaned one night in agony. He wanted, actually, of course, more than just to be noticed. He wanted her to feel for him what he felt for her, and she never did. It never happened, whatever he tried. Looking back, it would have been easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for my friend to make that girl love him when she wouldn't. Which gets us back to this virtuous, earnest young man on his knees before Jesus. Again, this is no indictment of the wealthy. It's not just the rich who can't storm the gates and inherit the things of life that are eternal. Neither can the poor. We are all, if you will forgive me, none too slender camels when it comes to a heavenly inheritance. It is impossible, at least for us, to command. There is no exchange rate, no legal tender to inherit the look on Jesus' face when he looked at that young man and saw him and loved him. The young man should have followed that love, but it wasn't to be. It was impossible for him. But this is where the good news can be heard most clearly, when things are impossible on our own. No, it is impossible for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. No, it is impossible to buy and sell, to earn or deserve love and approval. It is impossible to gain an inheritance. These things are impossible for us, but not for God. For God, all things are possible. The last meeting of the confirmation class that I was in when I was 12 years old, the week before the bishop came for confirmation, the rector came to join us for our concluding class. He was there to instruct us on the Eucharist and especially on how to receive communion. Maybe you received instruction when you were young too. But if not, let me share with you what Archie Stapleton, the rector of Odie Parish in Suwanee, Tennessee, told us. Archie was normally loud and gregarious and bigger than life and filled up the whole room. But on that day, he seemed the size of a regular person, and he just sat there in his black suit with us and spoke quietly, soberly, reverently. He said, "First, when you come to the communion rail to receive communion, remember that you have been forgiven. The Lord has set your sins aside. So take heart, because whatever it was, even if it was pretty awful, the Lord has forgiven you by his great mercy. So forget it for his sake and move on." So, Archie said, "When you kneel, hold out your left hand palm up. It is the one closest to your heart. And then put your right hand palm up on top of that palm so that it forms a chi, the first letter of Christ. You now have a throne worthy for the Lord. Hold them out open and empty. God alone will fill them with his son's life." "Please," Archie said, Don't ever reach for the body of Christ with your fingers like you're taking a potato chip. If you do, I will be tempted to pass by you, and I might. Because we can only ever receive Christ's body. We cannot take it. Hold out your hand empty. Archie was trying to show us that all of us are beggars with no currency or influence to buy favor from God. And isn't that what God is inviting this rich young man to do when he invites him to sell all of his possessions and give it to the poor and come follow him? When we can see that our hands are finally empty because we have ceased to clutch to riches or possessions or anything else that cannot buy us what we need most, then our hands will be empty. And then they will be finally free to receive. And then camels like us will glide through needle's eye with room to spare. And behold, we too are inheritors of the gaze of the one who looks upon us with love and whom we are called to follow. Amen.